And it is 11:15. Mabel Louise, we just had Mother's Day, so belated happy Mother's Day to you.
Thank you.
Grandmother, great-grandmother, and
yes,
yeah, I don't know, great-great-grandmother or not yet.
Huh?
So you're not a great-great-grandmother yet?
No,
so.
Not yet. Don't make me any older than I am.
Well, I was just delighted to be with my mom,
and
she was with her grandchildren. We were out at the gardens, and we were just talking about oasis, you know, green oasis and so forth. It was just so fun to...
Yeah.
The spring, just how much green did we get yesterday alone?
I know.
And thickening in the woods? I don't know.
Everything is all washed Wonderful. By, hand washed by the
yes.
Lord.
Indeed, yes. Yeah.
Well, I hope that you did have a nice Mother's Day weekend. I certainly did. Gregory and Sue had me over for one of my favorite meals, lasagna. Do you like lasagna? I bet you do. And I received beautiful cards and notes and gifts. It was great. My precious children are so good to me, and I'm thankful to each one. Well, today I want to continue on with my series entitled In Search of Peace. I stopped long enough to bring a message on mothers, and now I'm back again in search of peace. And our world, of course, is in such turmoil today. I don't need to tell you that. You can hear the news or read the newspaper or listen to the media. But I want to assure you that in the midst of all that's going on, we still can experience peace in our hearts if we know and love the Lord Jesus. Because really, it's a choice. Yes, we can claim the promises of the Lord and the peace he gives us, but we can run from it and get our hearts all, depressed. Well, for the last over 2,000 years, peace on earth has been very rare. Wars continue to take innocent lives. Domestic violence is growing. Divorce rates soar. Churches split and resplit. And peace in our restless and wayward hearts. It all seems like a dream, doesn't it? Actually, Jesus brought all that is needed for peace in our world. Oh my goodness, how awful when we miss it and let everything else come in our lives. Jesus taught the principles of peace, calling for people to love your neighbor as yourself. And remember, as he was leaving and going back to heaven, he promised this. He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." What a beautiful verse, and how we need to claim it today. And then, remember, he taught us to turn the other cheek. Or maybe you heard from your parents, go the extra mile. I did. Forgive offenses. Reject greed. Tolerate each other's weaknesses. To live, to serve, and love one another as Jesus or God has loved us. Actually, let's put it in a nutshell. Peace is up to each one of us. Romans 12:18 says, "As much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men." When we as individuals experience peace in our hearts from the Lord, then we can share his peace with others. And that's what I'm doing today. I'm sharing peace, my peace. Oh, how I love Jesus. He's so precious and fills my every need, and that he'll do exactly what has happened to me, to you, if you know and love the Lord Jesus. So the question today and the topic of my message is, why can't we live at peace with one another? What makes our personal relationships so difficult? Oh my goodness, how it's been so prevalent in the last 6 or 8 months of arguments against one another and pointing fingers. Well, our scripture text is Romans chapter 12, verses 17 and 21. Let me read it, okay? Verse 17 says, I have my Bible open right in front of me, and it says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, in other words, work at it as hard as you can, live peaceably with all men. How about that? What a wonderful portion of scripture. The Lord expected us, I guess, as sinful as we are, to be argumentative toward each other. Note that it states, if possible, be at peace with all men. Sometimes it's not possible, because if one person refuses to change or make it right, then that's when it seemingly seems impossible. But he goes on and says, but as much as we can do, we're to try to make peace with one another. That's the way church splits come, isn't it? Well, Mark 9:50 states, salt is good, but if the salt have lost his saltiness, wherewith will you season it? So we all need salt, don't we? We need it in ourselves in order to have peace one with another. Romans 14:19 says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love, will his peace shall be with you. I therefore, Ephesians 4:1-3 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you or beg you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Isn't that good? And then over in 1 Thessalonians, it says, chapter 5, verse 13, be at peace among yourselves. Whatever happened to that statement, agree to disagree? Oh, my goodness. I don't know how many times I heard my parents teach us that very thing. When things would go on at school and we'd be disappointed, they'd say, agree to disagree. Work it out. Well, the real challenge is that we live in a world where all sinners, all of us, each one of us are sinners, and each one of us are opinionated. And so actually all around us is conflict, difference of opinion, conflict with God and conflict with people. So we can have personality conflicts without having a big war. The problem is that we are all corrupted from our sinful nature, and therefore we all have a tendency to become critical of one another and have the attitude, I know more than you do. Well, sometimes we hear what we want to hear, don't we? And do not really listen to what the other person is saying. And we are so prone to have missed some communications with one another. And oh my dear, that's what happens. Then there's conflict. Well, some people, and I've known many, and I'm sure you have too, have to be right all of the time. They just absolutely will not accept the fact that they can ever be wrong. So the question is, why can't we live in peace? Well, Galatians 5:19 and 20 lists the works of the flesh and shows why it is so difficult to live in peace. Our scripture text of Romans 12:18 says, if possible, live in peace. So the question then is, do we want it? Do we desire it? Or do we expect it impossible? Well, I'm almost out of time, but hopefully I can cover some qualifications that we must exercise in order to have peace. In other words, you got to really work at it. The question is, is that relationship that you have with that person in which you have a disagreement, is there a friendship valuable enough to learn how to live in peace? In other words, how valuable is this person to you? Do you need to work at it? Well, I hope you do. I don't want conflict with anyone. I want to work it out. Start talking. Keep on talking. Keep on working on it. So that, I don't know about you, but if I have a conflict, every time I get on my knees to pray, whoops, it comes right in the forefront. In other words, the Lord wants us to get it under the blood of Christ and settle it. Maybe I'm talking to someone today who has nothing but conflict among your brothers and sisters or parents, conflict at church or wherever. Start working on it. Start asking for forgiveness. Keep on listening and keep on working on it. Be honest about the way you feel and be open and transparent. Like, I could be wrong. That's a good statement. Or maybe I am wrong. Maybe I've made a hasty decision. Or perhaps I've been thinking of the wrong way about the situation. See, all of those things are so easy to say. And if you're stubborn, then you're not going to say it. But oh, how we need to say, I'm sorry. Are those the hardest words that you've ever said? Well, I think that's prevalent with all of us. So get to the root of the cause. Why, and was it something in the past that you can forget about? Is it something relevant for right now? Does it have to change right now? Or can you just say, oh, it's in the past, let's forget it? Why was it something in the past? Is it something relevant? Was it something that happened when you were a child? Well, maybe I need to get counseling and they can help me with the situation. Was it the way you were treated and you expect to do the same to others? I hope it never comes to that. Sometimes we think something is not true at all and we won't accept truth. Am I responding the way my mother acted? Are you following, copying your mother's attitude? Or are you filled with anger for what you saw when you were a child, like parents fighting all the time? Am I responding as a result of being teased or even criticized? And you expect all to know about it, and you're sharing in anger what happened to you? Oh, let's be willing to talk and listen and forget and forgive. Have you found the cause for why your attitude is such? And be willing to say, I'm willing to work at this. Let's get at the root of the problem. And sometimes people do not know how to love or even accept love. And that can be a problem. But if really it all boils down to this, if two people are born again and they're filled with the Holy Spirit, they can work at it and be honest between themselves, and they can make it work. It's interesting, isn't it, that some people thrive on strife, fighting and more fighting, because they grew up that way. That's all they saw in the home. And some people love to make you miserable, and they just cannot handle the fact that you are happy and you don't have any disagreements with anyone else. So I didn't finish my message, so tune in to my broadcast next time, won't you? And if you have this problem, let me be of help and blessing. And maybe, just maybe, you can have the peace of a lifetime through our precious Lord and Savior. It's been good to be with you. Bye-bye.